te vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Granthraja Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 8, Chapter 17, entitled The Lord Agrees to Become Aditi's Son. Today we will recite texts 4 through 8 and we will chant text number 8 together. And then we can discuss. So first of all, I would like to take permission from His Holiness Badrinarayana Goswami and other senior devotees here. Blessings. I don't even deserve to be sitting here. But we are kept alive by the blessings of the Vaishnavas. As Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also prayed, Madgavirapi Gopala Svikuryat Kripaya Yadi Tadaivasam Payah Pitwa Hrishiyus Tat Priyajanaha. That may the cows of my words deliver enough sweet milk to please all the dear devotees of the Lord. So, I'm going to recite, first of all, the first few texts, and then we can go through text number 8. Tasya pradurabhutata bhagavan adi purushaham pitavasascha durbahoho shankha chakra gadadharaham. Today is a very special day. Today the Lord is appearing before Aditi. She's been engaged in this payovrata process for a long time now, we've been hearing, and we're about to hear what happens. Translation. My dear king, who is speaking? Yes. My dear king, the original supreme personality of Godhead, dressed in yellow garments and bearing a conch shell, disc, club, and lotus in his four hands, then appeared before Aditi. There is no purport. Tam netra gocharam vikshya sahasottaya sadaram nanama bhuvikayena dandavat priti vihvala. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead became visible to Aditi's eyes, Aditi was so overwhelmed by transcendental bliss that she at once stood up and then fell to the ground like a rod to offer the Lord her respectful obeisances. Tam netra gocharam means when the Lord appeared before her eyes. Sahasottaya sadaram, with great reverence or with great love. If you're Bengali, it means love, adara. And if you're otherwise, it means respect. She immediately got up and nanama bhuvikayena, using her body to offer obeisances, dandavat priti vifala. She offered dandavat pranama, but she was priti vihvala. She was overwhelmed by love. How would you feel, after all, if the Lord appeared before you in this form? Four hands, yellow cloth, shining in all his glory. Sotaya badhanjilati iritam sthita notseha ananda jalakulekshana. Babhuvatushnim pulakakula kritis tadarshanadyut sabagatra vepatho. Aditi stood silently with folded hands, unable to offer prayers to the Lord. Because of transcendental bliss, tears filled her eyes, and the hairs on her body stood on end. Because she could see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, she felt ecstasy, and her body trembled. Sridhar Swami notes in his commentary on this verse that she just could not say anything. We see this is very common, isn't it? when devotees see the Lord. Who else did this happen to? Dhruva? Anyone else? Many times. This is what happens. Expect to experience this one day if you persevere in Krishna consciousness. Can't imagine it now, but by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, whose words we're hearing, we can begin. Okay. Pritya shanair gad gadaya gira harim tushta vasa devyaditi guru dvaha udvikshati sa pibati vachakshusha ramapatim yajnapatim jagatpatim. Beautiful verse. O Maharaj Parikshit, the demigoddess Aditi then began offering her prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a faltering voice and with great love. She appeared as though drinking through her eyes the Supreme Lord, who is the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, the enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies, and the Master and Lord of the entire universe. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. After observing the Payovrata, Aditi was certain that the Lord had appeared before her as Ramapati, the husband of all good fortune, just to offer her sons all opulences. She had performed the yajna of Payovrata under the direction of her husband Kashyapa, and therefore she thought of the Lord as Yajnapati. What does Yajnapati mean? The Lord of the sacrifice. She was completely satisfied to see the Master and the Lord of the entire universe come before her to fulfill her desire. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Pritya shanair gadgadaya gira harim. In love, she gradually began to pull herself together enough that she could offer some prayers to the Lord, Hari. Tushtava sa devi aditi gurudvaha. She was completely satisfied. Why? Udvikshati sa pibativa chakshusha. Jeev Goswami explains, it's clear already. Punaha sa chakshusha pibanti eva udvikshyamana bhubhuva. The idea is that she was so eager to see the Lord that two eyes were not enough to see him. Like a dry sponge soaking up water, she was drinking him with her eyes. Rupa Goswami has similarly said, not visually, but aurally. He wants how many ears? Millions of ears. It's not enough. Who else said this? Prithu Maharaj said the same thing. So this is a fantastic description, and we can hardly imagine, only because our taste is very low. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is addressing whom? Who is this Bhagavatam meant for? Paramahamsas. And back in the third verse we've heard, what two classes of persons are the Bhagavatam specifically addressed to? One is the Rasikas, and the other is the Bhavakas. Rasika is a person who has some, an aesthete person, a person who has sufficient sensitivity to the subtleties of rasa. That person can appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhavaka means the person who has a soft heart. He has capability of emotions. So Bhagavatam is meant for these persons. And Bhagavatam is also very, very beautiful poetry. We'll say something about that in a minute. So these descriptions are given here. When we see the Supreme Lord, or when we finally hear the Supreme Lord, it takes some time to hear him. it almost doesn't get in. We're hearing every day, but we're not hearing at the same time. Similarly, pashyannapina pashyati. We see certain things, but we don't see at the same time. So after some time, by every day hearing carefully from the right source and submissively, then something happens. Eventually something will happen. That's a great science. Rupa Goswami has given us that science. Courtesy Tamal Krishna Goswami. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada wrote the Nectar of Devotion when he was living in Los Angeles at Hayworth Avenue. He had an apartment there. This is back in the old, old days. And it was Tamal Krishna Goswami who was organizing the temple so that Srila Prabhupada could write these books. What are some of the two most valuable books we have? Summary studies from Srila Prabhupada. Nectar of Devotion is a summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Teachings of Lord Chaitanya also he did at that time. What else? Krishna book. All three summary studies of the most important literature, the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Nectar of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Rupa Goswami and Chaitanya Charitamritam. Srila Prabhupada was not sure he would be with us very much longer. He had to get these books out. And those devotees who joined him in the early days and facilitated. Only in Los Angeles around when? Was it 1968 or 69 or something? Only at that time could Prabhupada recede a little bit from managing his fledgling institution enough to actually write these books. So, Srila Prabhupada did this. Now as we're hearing, many years later, Srila Prabhupada has translated the 8th canto, and he finally got as far as the 10th canto. How fortunate are we? We got up to chapter 14, at least, of the 10th canto by the hand of His Divine Grace. All right, so Aditi, she's having this wonderful epiphany. She's experiencing the Supreme Lord personally, face to face, and she's completely stunned. She can't even offer her prayers. But eventually, after she bows down in great ecstasy and her eyes filled with tears, she can finally, by the Lord's empowerment, she can say something. And what kind of things does she say? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains three words here are significant. Three patis. Ramapatim, Yajnapatim, and Jagatpatim. Ramapatim indicates that the Lord is, well, tatputrebhyaha sarva sampat pradaya. Pradataraha. The Lord is the one who can give all fortune, good fortune, to her sons. She's thinking like this. And Yajnapati means Yajna Sararthya Vratad Avirbhavantam. The Lord has appeared only because I did this vrata for him on the order of my husband. And finally, Jagatpatim. Avatirya Jagat. Avatiryam Uddharatam. The Lord appears to deliver this whole universe. In what form is the Lord going to appear? Vamanadev, her son. But he's already appeared just now. So, let's hear the next verse and we can chant this together. Shri Aditi Ruvacha Yajnesha Yajna Purushachyuta Tirtha Pada Tirtha Shravashravana Mangala Namadheya. Apanna Loka Vrishino Pashamodayadya Shamna Kridhisha Bhagavanna Siddhina Natha. Someone else?
Thanks for the prep.
Okay, I'll just... Yajnesha. Yajna Isha, actually. O controller of all sacrificial ceremonies. Yajna Purusha. The person who enjoys the benefits of all sacrifices. Achyuta. Infallible. Tirthapada. At whose lotus feet stand all holy places of pilgrimage. Tirtha Shravaha. Celebrated as the ultimate shelter of all saintly persons. Shravana. Hearing about whom Mangala is auspicious. Namateya. To chant his name is also auspicious. Apanna, surrendered, loka, of people, vrijna, dangerous, material position, upashama, diminishing, udaya, who has appeared, adya, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, sham, auspiciousness, Naha, our Krithi, kindly bestow upon us. Isha, O Supreme Controller. Bhagavan, O Lord. Asi, you are Dinanathaha, the only shelter of the downtrodden. Beautiful verse. Goddess Aditi said, O Master and Enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies, O infallible and most famous person, whose name, when chanted, spreads all good fortune, O original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supreme Controller, shelter of all holy places, you are the shelter of all poor, suffering, living entities, and you have appeared to diminish their suffering. Please be kind to us and spread our good fortune. Please repeat. The goddess Aditi said, O Master and Enjoyer of all sacrificial ceremonies, O infallible and most famous person, whose name, when chanted, spreads all good fortune, O original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Supreme Controller, shelter of all holy places, you are the shelter of all poor, suffering living entities, and you have appeared to diminish their suffering. Please be kind to us and spread our good fortune. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of those who observe vows and austerities, and it is He who bestows benedictions upon them. He is worshipable for the devotee throughout the devotee's life, for He never breaks His promises. As He says in Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Kaunteya pratijanihi na me bhakta pranashyati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. The Lord is addressed here as Achyuta, the infallible, because He takes care of His devotees. Now, someone may raise the question at this point. Maybe some of you thoughtful persons are already thinking, wait a minute, we know that Krishna tells Arjuna to declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes, because Krishna is known to sometimes break His promise. But here Srila Prabhupada says, He never breaks His promises. So how do we explain this? It's a direct contradiction. It is in fact a contradiction. What are we going to do about it? Sometimes we sidestep these problems by saying, no, it's only an apparent contradiction. But this is not an apparent contradiction. This is a genuine contradiction. So what are we going to do with this? So, I was thinking about this morning when I studied this verse. I didn't have so much time to prepare here, but this promise the Lord will never break. That is a fact. This promise that if you take shelter of His lotus feet, you're not going to be left high and dry. He never breaks that promise. Or as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to emphasize quite often, the Lord is always responsive, 100% of the time. He's always responsive to the entreaties of His devotees. He never lets His devotee fall. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Here in the previous text, the word was used, tata. What does tata mean? Anybody know? It means different things in different languages. Here it means, dear boy. Little boy, you call it beta in Hindi, we say. So, you know the verse I'm thinking of? Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tata gachati. He tells Arjuna in a similarly emotional terms, my dear Arjuna, somebody who does good never perishes. So, in other words, do not have any doubt that if you've taken in all sincerity to Krishna consciousness, you will be delivered back to Godhead by the divine grace of Krishna's pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. This is Krishna's promise. It is also Srila Prabhupada's promise. Therefore, Krishna is not going to let that promise be broken. You have to do only simple things. You chant 16 rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You follow the four regular principles. You follow the standard program for Krishna consciousness. You will go back to Godhead. There's no doubt about it. This is a promise. So, that's what I would do this. In other cases, I don't know. It is known that Krishna sometimes breaks His promise, but only in order to keep this promise. This is the point. When else did Krishna break His promise? Who knows an example? Yes.
He wouldn't fight on the battlefield.
And He broke that promise only for what purpose? Only to save His devotee, which is this promise. Therefore, I say confidently, He's not going to break this one. That's the first thing. Let's continue the purport. The Lord is addressed here as Achyuta, the infallible, because He takes care of His devotees. Anyone inimical to the devotees is certainly vanquished by the mercy of the Lord. There is in the Vamara Purana one Vishnu Namashtakam, eight names of Lord Vishnu. Achyutam Keshavam Vishnum Harim Satyam Janardhanam Hansam Narayanam Chaiva Etan Namashtakam Parhet. And in the Phalashruti of that stotra, very short thing, one verse, it says, Trisanjam. If you sing this three times a day, then what are some of the things that happen? Daridyam tasya nashyati. Your poverty will be destroyed. Shatru sainyam kshayam yati. Entire armies of your enemies will be vanquished. So this is confirmed here. Srila Prabhupada is saying, anyone inimical to devotees is certainly vanquished. Now, what else is he saying? Tirthapada. The Lord is the source of the Ganges water, and therefore he is addressed here as Tirthapada, indicating that all holy places are at his lotus feet, or that whatever he touches with his foot becomes a holy place. Tirthapada. Why does Srila Prabhupada mention the Ganga here? Tirtha means holy places in general. Why does Prabhupada bring in the Ganga? The general answer is that, say it louder. Which Lord Vishnu? Which form of Lord Vishnu? Vamanadeva. Who are we talking about here? We're talking about Vamanadeva. This is pointed out by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada represents it as well in his purport. But it's a more general thing as well. Therefore, he mentions next. Bhagavad Gita, for example, begins with the words dharma kshetre kuru kshetre. Because the Lord was present at the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it became a dharma kshetra, a place of pilgrimage. Now, why was Kurukshetra chosen for that battle? This is another problem. When you're a scholar, you have to problematize things. You have to create problems and then solve problems, otherwise people are not intellectually satisfied. Why was Bhagavad Gita spoken at Kurukshetra? Why did they choose that place as the battlefield, Kurukshetra? Prabhupada mentions this in the first chapter, yes. Yes. Very well said. From time immemorial, Kurukshetra is known as a holy place. So again, we find a contradiction. Srila Prabhupada says, because Krishna's foot touched that holy place, it became a tirtha. But it was already a tirtha, otherwise they wouldn't have chosen that place. So how do we unravel this one?
Put his foot there earlier.
Nice try. Okay, sounds good to me. When we hear the word Kurukshetra, what do we think of first? You have to think of what? Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is the main thing, actually. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of God, and he is the source of all auspiciousness. Kalyananam Nidhanam. And Kurukshetra is eternally the place of his pastimes. He is eternally enlightening Arjuna, eternally speaking Bhagavad Gita. So actually it's an eternal place of pilgrimage, and yet still Srila Prabhupada says, he creates these places of pilgrimage. It's exactly the same thing as he writes in the 10th canto. The Lord eternally selects some qualified devotees to become his parents. He eternally does this. As if they weren't his parents already. This is Nitya Lila Hoti Hai. This is Nitya Lila. So the Lord is doing this. Therefore, the Pandavas, who were extremely religious, were assured of victory. Any place where the Supreme Personality of Godhead displays his pastimes, such as Vrindavana or Dwarka, becomes a holy place. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is pleasing to the ear, and it expands good fortune to the audience who hears it chanted. So this place, Vrajabhumi, Vrindavana Bhumi, and particularly this neighborhood of Vrindavan, Ramanareti, and particularly this particular spot in Ramangareti, beneath the Tamala tree, in front of Krishna and Balaram, Srila Prabhupada established this temple, and this chanting of Harinama Sankirtana is going on 24 hours every day. So not only has the Lord's lotus feet touched this place, Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, all of the gopis, everyone, but this chanting is going on here. So this is the most auspicious place in the entire creation of the Lord. There is no place that we would rather be. It doesn't get any better than this. So, owing to the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada concludes, Aditi was fully assured that the troublesome condition created for her by the demons would now be ended. Now, was Aditi praying just for some material benediction? It seems that way, doesn't it? She wants that her sons are going to be taken care of. That even Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has already said this. We described this with regards to Ramapati. It indicates he's fully competent with all good fortune to bestow upon whoever he chooses. So, who is Aditi? Your great-grandparent. All living entities are descending from Aditi. She's practically speaking the female version of, you know, Lord Brahma. Everything comes from here. So, but she has an identity above and beyond that. In this world, her form as Aditi is the mother of 33 million demigods and all of their descendants, including us. But who else is she? Think about the 10th canto, chapter 3. When Krishna appears to Vasudeva and Devaki, what does he say? He said, I came before as well, twice before. I came as Prishnisutapa, who executed austerities for how long in order to get the Lord as their son? 12,000 celestial years. 12,000. How long did Hiranyakashipu do his austerities? As I recall, it's 100 celestial years. But this is 12,000 celestial years. Srila Prabhupada writes in that connection, very interesting. We should be careful to understand that to get Krishna as one's son, one must undergo such great austerities. Krishna tells his parents in the form of Vasudeva Devaki, you endured rain, wind, strong sun, scorching heat, and severe cold. Those of us who live in Vrindavan, you can appreciate what this means. Suffering all sorts of inconvenience according to different seasons. By practicing pranayama to control the air within the body through yoga, and eating only air and dry leaves fallen from the trees, you cleansed your mind of all dirty things. In this way, desiring a benediction for me, you worshipped me with peaceful minds. O sinless Mother Devaki, after the experience of 12,000 celestial years in which you constantly contemplated me within the core of your heart with great faith, devotion, and austerity, I was very much satisfied with you. Since I am the best of all bestowers of benediction, I appeared in this same form as Krishna, to ask you to take from me the benediction you desired. You then expressed your desire to have a son exactly like me. So this is the same Aditi. Previously they were Prishnisutapa. They executed austerities. Which Lord appeared to them? Which form of the Lord? Prishnigarbha, he also benedicted Dhruva, and then they appeared as Kashyapa and Aditi, that we're hearing today. Finally, they appeared as Vasudeva Devaki, and all three of them represent only which form? Nanda Yashoda. All these different forms are expansions. And all of Krishna's forms, they also expand from Swayam Bhagavan, just to reciprocate according to the particular relationship of his devotees. So this is Aditi, great, great soul. And she's offering her prayers that may seem to be motivated by material desire, but that's often the case in the Lord's Leelas. Therefore, he says, Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanam ashritam param bhavam ajananto ityadi. We should not mistake them. Okay, so now I mentioned a few moments ago that the Bhagavatam is very beautiful poetry. If you study this board, you can see the words of the verse, they're in a certain order. And we have what we call in Sanskrit anupras, alliteration in this verse. Because the Bhagavatam is the very far above all the other Puranas, all the other Vedic literatures, and its poetic merit. Bhagavatam is so beautiful in Sanskrit. Yajnesha, yajna purusha. And then tirtha pada, tirtha shrava. And then shrava, shravana. He keeps repeating the same ideas in different forms. So Vishwanath Chakravarti explains some of these. Yajnesha, why? Because vrata yajna phalaprada. He is the person who gives the benediction, gives you the fruits of all of your austerities or sacrifices. Yajna purusha. She says, he says, it means mad janma avadhi yajaniya purusha. The Lord who is worshipped throughout my life. Have we heard this already? Anyone who is listening attentively to the purport heard Srila Prabhupada say that the Lord is to be worshipped throughout our lives. He's simply paraphrasing Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. At every step, uninterruptedly. Achyuta means swabhakta shakradi chuti vinashin. He is perfectly competent to destroy anything that might cause his devotees to fall down. Not just his pure devotees, but shakradi. Who is Shakra? Indra. Mixed devotees. Because she's, after all, in the same family, no? So, tirthapada, gangotpada ishyat, charanam padmaha. Your lotus feet are going to give birth to the Ganga in the future. Before Vamanadeva appeared and performed that pastime, she's already saying this. Tirtha shava, jagat pavani bhavishyat, bali chalanadi kirti. Your fame will spread as a result of your cheating, Bali Maharaj, in the future. And you will purify the entire universe as a result of that fame. Where did this happen? Where did Vamanadeva cheat Bali Maharaj? Anybody know? Huh? Some people say that. Other people say it happened in Bhrigu Katha. Because Bhrigu, that was his ashram, was there on the bank of the Narmada River. That's now known today as known as Bharuch in Gujarat state. I went there just recently. So sometimes in different kalpas the pastimes play out a little bit differently. But anyway, Tirtha Shava. That's where he cheated Bali Maharaj and performed that Vamanadeva Leela. Then Shravana Mangala Namateya Karnanandi Pavishyat. You will become the bliss of the ears of the devotees in the future by all of your wonderful names. What kind of names does Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says? Upendra, Trivikramadi. Names such as Upendra and Trivikrama. We heard the other day. What does Upendra mean? Little Indra. Junior Indra. And Vamana, we know that Trivikrama, he's covered the whole universe in three steps like this. So Vishwanath Chakravarti also adds here that we should understand that these names flowed spontaneously from Aditi's mouth. They have deep significance. They're all focused on Lord Vamanadeva, and they're all addressing the pastimes performed by Vamanadeva before he performed them. So how does she do this? How is it possible? He says they all spontaneously, by the Lord's arrangement, they came out of her mouth like this. Sometimes we see fate is so strange that we say something and then the very same thing that we predicted, it actually comes to pass. So these are some of the things that we can think about this very beautiful verse. He is the Lord of all sacrifices. He is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. He's infallible. His feet gave birth to the Ganga and, in fact, all other holy places. Therefore, just hearing about him creates tirthas as well. His holy names are so many and varied, and they're all auspicious when we hear them. You have to hear them. Apanna loka, Sridhar Swami has said. What does apanna loka mean? Apanna. Apanna means a calamity. Those who are distressed. Apanna. Sharanagatanam vrijana upashama. Udayo. This is his understanding. You have come here now, the original Supreme Lord, only to pacify all these difficulties that not only I am undergoing. Loka. What does loka mean? It means people in general, but it means worlds in general as well. All this, everyone, we're all suffering, all of us. Nobody's free from suffering. So this prayer is completely suitable for us to sing as well. And she's finally asking her benediction. Shamnaha Kriti Isha. Oh, my dear Supreme Personality of Godhead, please pacify all this suffering, Bhagavan. Why? Because you're Dinanatha. Dinanatha. Srila Rupa Goswami has written a beautiful verse also in which he uses this name. Dina Bandhurati Namate Smanan Yadavendra Patitoham Utsahe Bhaktavatsalatayatva Ishrute Mamakam Hridayam Ashu Kampate. My dear Lord, you're known as Dina Bandhu, Lord of the Fallen. I am 100% fallen, simply fallen. You know this. But when I hear about how much you love your devotees, and we've just described that he never lets his devotees down. She said, when I hear this, then I get a little bit of hope and my heart trembles and I can carry on. Such a beautiful verse from Rupa Goswami. And that is the significance of the word here, Dinanatha. You've come for me. She considers herself to be Dina, simply poor, downtrodden. I mean, in some sense, you can say it's true because they've lost all their opulences temporarily. Everything is temporary. Nothing gold can stay, as Robert Frost wrote. You know this one? Nature's first green is gold. Her hardest hue to hold. Her early leaf is a flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank to grief, or in this case, the demigods sank to grief. Dawn goes down to day, nothing gold can stay. So this is the way it is in this material world. We're always having our ups and downs. So when we're down, then we can take shelter of the Lord. He's Dinanatha. Dinana Dukkaharana Deva, it's described also. So she's praying like this, and very beautiful sentiments she's expressing. I'm going to stop now, but not before mentioning. Today is also another special reason, it's a holy day, and that is the appearance in this world of Srivas Thakur. We're all indebted to Srivas Thakur because from his house only the Sankirtana began. It actually began in his house. Outsiders were not allowed. We're all outsiders, at least I'm an outsider. But Srivas Thakur opened it up. Everyone else could join. They took it out into the streets. They took it even to such godforsaken places as Moscow and Nairobi and Los Angeles and other such places. So, by the divine grace of the Lord's devotee, Srila Prabhupada, we're all sitting here today, but let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Srivas Pandit. Sri Gauranga Kripavasam Gauramurtim Rasapradam. He is the receptacle of the mercy of Gauranga, His form is itself golden, and he's the distributor of rasa. Shuklam Bharadharam Devam, he's a veritable god dressed in shining white silk. Sarva Bhakta Janapriyam, he's dear to all the devotees. Sankirtana Rasa Vesha, he's deeply absorbed. He's entered very deeply into the rasa of Sankirtana. Sarva Saubhagya Bhushitam, he's decorated with every ornament, every opulence. Smarami Bhaktarajam hi, I remember that king of all devotees, Srivasa Sri Haripriyam, who is most dear to Lord Hari, Srivas Thakur. Pranamami Sri Srivasam tam adyam panditam muda, joyfully I bow down unto the Srivas, the original of all the pandits, first of all the pandits. Sri Gauranga Kripa Patram, he is the receptacle of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Kirtananda Manasam, and his mind is deeply absorbed in the ecstasy of Kirtan. Srivasa Panditam Naomi, we offer our respectful obeisances unto the Srivas Pandit. Gauranga Priyaparshadam, who is dear associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yasya Krivava Leneti, Gaurange Jayate Rati. Love for Lord Gauranga appears only after receiving his very merciful glance. Srivasa Kirtananda, he is himself the personification of the bliss of Kirtan. Bhakta Goshtyeka Vallabha, and in the circle of devotees, he is singularly dear. No one can compare to how dear he is. Twam Namami Mahayogin, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, O best of all the yogis. Bhakta Rupo Sinaradaha, because you are Narad Muni in the form of one of Lord Chaitanya's devotees. Srivas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Are there any questions or any comments?
I have a couple of questions, but let me ask you one. Krishna lets down his devotees, and that's his cardinal promise. There's a hierarchy of promises. I mean, we see devotees struggling and suffering and being defeated, and you just say, well, you know, it's purification, and you'll see the fruit in your next life. Who's going to be around in the next life to make sure?
What about Jatayu, after all, right?
Huh?
Jatayu.
Yeah, there's so many examples. But, you know, if it works out by just the capricious nature of faith, they say, oh, gracious mercy. Mm. And if it doesn't work, they say, it's purifying. You'll get it in the next life, you'll go back, you got it. You're just not seeing it now.
Yes.
But just the rationale that allows you to explain an existence of God.
This is, of course, the atheist position. You can never really prove anything objectively in Krishna consciousness. This is the nature of theism. Theism means we have faith in God. But Srila Prabhupada used to emphasize one very important principle, and that is, the proof of the pudding is when you eat it. You cannot watch someone else or analyze someone else and prove that that person is experiencing love of God, or prove that that person is actually gaining the mercy of Bhagavan, but you can experience this thing. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a very beautiful verse that describes this. All such arguments, they're all dissipated immediately. As soon as the mercy of Lord Chaitanya descends upon a person's heart, everything is, all problems are pacified, all arguments are resolved, all ecstasy is immediately manifest, all perfection is there. This is the mystical wonder of Krishna consciousness. At the end of his, what is it? I think Dashama Charita, Sanatana Goswami, for several verses, he just glorifies the mercy of Krishna as the wonderful thing that it is, because it cannot be subjected to mundane logic for sure, but even ordinary reason and ordinary experience, it seems to break all the rules. Krishna's mercy is such a wonderful thing, but we have to experience it ourselves. You cannot taste the honey by watching someone else eat it. You have to eat it yourself. So this is the this is Krishna's condition also. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha. I don't have to reveal myself to anybody who, upon demand. If I want to, I can reveal myself. And if we humbly chant his holy name in a genuine spirit, then Krishna will reveal to us. Everything will become completely pure. We can believe that or we can't believe it. It's up to us. Yathechasi tatakuru, he tells Arjuna. So, that's one thing I can say about that. Is that sufficient?
Yes, very good. Yeah.
Anything else? Yes, Supa Krishna always has a question. Yes? Okay, this is the next thing I wanted to say, I forgot. And this is particularly dangerous with Krishna. You're safer with Ram. Because Ram, if you take shelter of him once, he has given the promise, I will always give you abhayam. Dadami etad vratam nama. Abhayam sarva bhute bhyo dadami, no? So, you will become fearless with Ram because he will be there for you, just like he was. Well, Krishna's a little more tricky. Krishna's a problem because Krishna sometimes, you know, the fact of the matter is that Krishna is always there, but he has arranged his yoga maya in such a way that he makes his devotees think that he's not there, just for the sake of what we call rasa svadana, experiencing the bliss of rasa. Now, here in this verse I was going to mention...
So Krishna tortures and Ram doesn't.
I'm getting to that. Here she's calling him Dinanatha because she considers herself to be Dina. We don't consider Aditi to be Dina. Far from it. But my point is that all the pure devotees, they have this attitude. They don't consider that, wait a minute, I'm the mother of Krishna. This is her humility. And all the devotees everywhere in Krishna's Leela also have this attitude that they're very poor and fallen. They can hardly think like that unless they're put into a position of reverses sometimes. And Krishna does this also. The chief example is the Gopi Janas. When Krishna went away to Mathura, they're all suffering like anything, and they will never use another word for it. They will not say that this is, they will not tell us, like Vishwanath Chakravarti has told us, that this is just dry ice. You're not really being burned, it's actually freezing cold, but it feels like it's burning. You know this analogy. Okay. He says that the suffering of the residents of Vrindavan in particular, in Krishna Leela, it looks to be suffering, but actually it's not really suffering, it's really ecstasy. Even if they call it suffering, it is still ecstasy. And he says, how can it be so? And he gives his own example. He says, it can be so because you can be burned by something that is cold. They're opposites. The antidote for burning is cold. But dry ice will burn you if you touch it to your skin. Even though it's very, very cold, it will burn you. So in the same way, these transcendental emotions that are at the highest zenith in Krishna Leela, they necessarily have to include the highest level of difficulty in order to emphasize that ecstasy. But we cannot understand this now. Therefore,
why
she's...
Do we want it?
And this is exactly why we don't say these things in public. We have a double standard. For the inside people, once the faith is very strong, then we can tell them, look, you better be careful with this. Krishna, Srimati Radharani and her friends, she says like this, yes, yes, he's a Lambarta, I know this. You cannot trust him, he'll do anything. She says it. The warning is there. Therefore, these things are kept very confidential. Because a person whose faith is not developed yet, he cannot understand.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in his last, you know, maybe brokenhearted.
Yeah, this is the same verse.
Yeah.
Originally spoken by her or by him. What's the difference? So, it will not be ecstatic, and the Leela will not be complete unless they call it suffering and cry their eyes out. This is the thing that we cannot understand yet. But as we entered gradually into these realities, then we, Krishna will reciprocate with us. And you can expect that, yes, it will be difficult. Look at what Srila Prabhupada had to undergo. Look what the Pandavas had to undergo. Prahlad Maharaj. Endless examples, as you said, rightly. But those devotees will never, even if they call it suffering, they will never give up their worship of the Supreme Lord. Because that means they must be experiencing something. That is the honey that we mentioned a moment ago. Otherwise they would give it up. Hear her friends come and say, look, he's not coming back. He's just a rascal. He's going and enjoying with all these women in Mathura right now. You're left high and dry. And he's not coming back. You should forget about him. He's no good for you. You deserve better than this. This is a Me Too sort of moment. they would preach to her like this. And she says, yes, yes, what you're saying, I know it's all true. Fear be. Mat prananathastas evanapara. Who can understand this devotion? But Krishna has his way of bringing us in. Hote hote, as they say in Hindi. Gradually we'll experience. And then as our devotion is tested, then our devotion is strengthened and our bhav develops in this way. The suffering is actually a great benefit in Krishna consciousness when we have Krishna consciousness.
Are you saying that bhav will be developed by suffering and devotion?
No,
I'm not
I'm not saying that. But it does happen through that agency sometimes. It's true. You have a question way in the back.
Hare Krishna Guru. Can you mention some leaders which happened in Kurukshetra before the war?
Oh. Well, it's mainly known as Bhagavad Gita tells us, Dharmakshetra. Famous for sacrifices, but one of the lilas is Parashuram. He killed all the Kshatriya generations 21 times and filled up that whole field with their blood. That whole Brahma Sarovar that you go to in Kurukshetra now, still there going on the lunar eclipse. Big, big crowds are coming to bathe there. That place was filled with the blood of the Kshatriyas killed by Parashuram long, long ago. Many other sacrifices were there. Many sages lived there. Many, many, many things happened there. Krishna's lilas, that's also went on. But even before that, this place is eternally renowned as Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra. Prabhupada went there. Need I say more? Prabhupada is starting a temple there now. The temple is already there. So, lila is unfolding. Yes, Prabhuji. You may have to shout because the microphone is already... Oh, he's got one. Okay. In their commentaries on the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita, Machitta Madgata Prana Bodhayanta Parasparam Katayanta Shamam Nityam Tushyanticha Ramanticha. Two things that seem to be equivalent. Tushyanticha means he's satisfied. Ramanticha means he enjoys. There is a subtle distinction between them. I think it's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur who says, the devotee in the stage of sadhana bhakti, he is satisfied when he is able to perform his sadhana bhakti, because sometimes your sadhana bhakti will be tested. Sometimes you will be forced into a circumstance where you don't have the association of devotees, where you cannot do all the things that you want to do. You cannot, the temple is not anywhere nearby. Trust me, it will come sooner or later. So in those circumstances, the devotee, he's grateful. This is the point. He's satisfied because he's grateful that I have this opportunity to cultivate Krishna consciousness so easily. As I said, we're sitting here at the feet of Srila Prabhupada in Sri Vrindavan Dham. What more could you ask for? We have this opportunity. Now, we are sadhakas only, but this much we can appreciate if we're a little bit thoughtful. And Ramanticha, in the liberated stage, then they enjoy. How do they enjoy? Like Aditya is enjoying now. The Lord actually comes in front of them. He interacts with them. He performs leelas. Or, when Srila Prabhupada was here, a few moments we had with Srila Prabhupada. Personal association. But it becomes enshrined in our memory forevermore. And we worship those moments with small silver diyas. And just pray that one day again we can have his blessings, his association. In this way, when a devotee is blessed by the Lord and becomes fully Krishna conscious and goes back to God, and the Sambhoga will be there. He will have the Lord's association. He can enjoy in that way. So the austerities of sadhana bhakti, and the austerities, especially when we cannot perform sadhana bhakti as nicely as we would like to, yes, that purifies our hearts. It's all grist for the mill, as they say. And it is arranged by Krishna as well, because not a blade of grass waves in the breeze without his sanction, according to the Upanishads. So that's also his mercy. It is his mercy, even if it doesn't seem like it, but it is actually, because sometimes you have to be a little rough with someone to help them. Sometimes a person needs to be slapped a bit. And once in a while we have to undergo difficulties even by Krishna's arrangement. In the fifth canto, I don't want to go on for too long, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained there are three reasons devotees have to undergo reverses. One, it's their karma, simple. And for whatever reason, Krishna wants them to undergo that karma. Two, and more likely reason, they've committed some offense. That is actually the major reason. And then three is really the scary one, because three, for some reason of his own that we cannot understand, Bhagavan may want us to undergo suffering. And sometimes we see in the Leela, there are certain people, like these five Shudras that were wasted by the Pandavas in the house of Lakh, correct? They were murdered. This is Leela. So, he says, not only Bhagavan, but sometimes even if Bhagavan's bhakta wants you to undergo suffering, you have to undergo that suffering. And he doesn't say the pure devotees also. It may be the mixed devotees like these demigods. That we know. Demigods, they throw obstacles in the path of devotees all the time. This is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Just to help them. Krishna allows it to happen, just to help them. They may be envious, that's another thing. But in this way, suffering is going on, even in devotional service. But it doesn't affect the devotees the same way that it affects the non-devotees. This is the point. The devotees grow through that. They mature through that. They relish that, depending on the depth of their faith. Now, I set you up for a question and nobody asked the question, so I'm going to raise the question myself and then we'll stop, I promise. That is that in the 10th canto, when Krishna recounts to his parents all their previous incarnations and how he reciprocated with them in those incarnations, he very strongly asserts that because of their austerities, they were able to gain him as their son. And Srila Prabhupada in his purport even says something very similar to that. So no one has any doubts about this? How is it that you, by austerities only you can get this bhakti? Anyone have any ideas about this? It's a fact. Uh-huh. Yeah, Gopal.
But we can understand this through this creation of the material world. And the very first words he received through his meditation was Tapa. Mm. So Brahma, the creator of the entire universe, received the information that you must perform tapasya in order to receive my meditations.
Yes, good answer. This tapas is an eternal principle, and it works in Yoga Maya, it also works in Mahamaya. When we say that you cannot gain Krishna consciousness, what to speak of the Lord himself as your son, through mundane austerities. That means non-devotional austerities. But austerities and devotional service, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments in that passage, those create faith, and even mundane austerities also create faith. And faith is the basis of maturing of the seed of bhakti. So, by executing the yajna dana tapa that we find throughout all Vedic processes generally, this is the common denominator. Yajna dana tapascheva pavanani minishna, sacrifice, charity, austerity. By engaging in these activities, we become pious. How do we become pious? He says, our faith is nourished. And when we have faith, and someone plants the seed of bhakti within our hearts, then we can respond much more favorably. He gives this continuum. First is austerity, then is faith, and then bhakti. So if they were able to procure the Supreme Lord as their son through austerities, this is the method. Okay, so we should stop now. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.